The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Lewandowski goes through the goal! He just can't do it! You just cannot be that good! That is an amazing goal! Well, I don't know how many offers of marriage Robert Lewandowski's going to have, but Pep Guardiola's going to be one of them. He can't believe it either. The fastest hat-trick in the history of the Bundesliga.
He would go on to get five, and I'm not sure Pep Guardiola is going to want to marry him, according to that commentator. He thinks so, but he might have at that moment. Unbelievable moment in sports, soccer history today. In 8 minutes and 59 seconds, Robert Lewandowski came on in the second half and scored five goals. This was as a sub, by the way. We all know who Robert Lewandowski is, and that's why Bayern Munich got him from Dortmund. But this was after 45 minutes where Wolfsburg, who also came into this game like Bayern Munich at 5-0 in the Bundesliga. This was a highly publicized game. He comes in the game and scores five goals, and it ends up 5-1. He could add six or seven. He had one kicked off the line. And Wolfsburg had played a wonderful 45 minutes, and we're up 1-0. Just an amazing moment. My nephew was texting me, and his last text was, "What's happening?" with a question mark. And I texted him back, and I said, "Just keep your eyes on the television." Unbelievable. And the emotion that's pulled out of this. Not a good day for Volkswagen, by the way, because Volkswagen, who was on the front of the Wolfsburg jerseys, sadly are in the news for scandal over falsified U.S. vehicle emissions testing. So a double whammy here today for Wolfsburg. But they've had an outstanding season so far. They just ran into this incredible nine-minute period where Robert Lewandowski just, like the commentator said, can he be that good? 713-780-3776. A reminder here, Labor Day is over. Houstonians know that it's the time to wear orange, representing the Houston Dynamo. And though summer may be over, it's never a bad time to think about electricity providers. Amigo Energy is the one. Amigo Energy has a new featured product for you, the Soccer Matter listeners, for the month of September. With back to school over, everybody's back in school, you're in the groove now, it's time to get back to basics with Amigo Energy Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basic 24. There's no usage fee, no customer service, no payment fees. Yeah, you're saving money. It's just a great low rate. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters and sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. That's 888-995-9299. Right now, as we all know, tomorrow night, the Houston Dynamo take on Sporting Kansas City. Presented by Dr. Pepper. It's at BBVA Compass Stadium. 7:15. Got a pair of tickets right now. Seventh caller at 713-780-3776. Seventh caller right now at 713-780-3776. You get a pair of Dynamo Sporting Kansas City tickets. Number of U.S. internationals involved in this one. Hungarian international, Christian Nemeth. Good game to see down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Again, seventh caller, 713-780-3776. And as always, we thank all the great sponsors, 7-Up Bud Light, Bar Munich, Daspit Law Firm. And how about the gorgeous Gale over in West University? It's a great spot to go over to. West University, it's Irish hospitality at the Gorgeous Gale. You can get over there. You can taste the whiskey offering, exquisite cocktails, great food. It's thegorgeousgalebar.com. It's barmunich.com as well. Phone lines are lighting up for the tickets right now. More to come here when we come back from break. And we remind you again, Daspit Law Firm working for you 24/7. It's daspitlaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. We will take a break. More to come. Alexi Lalas is up next, the Fox analyst and former U.S. international. Following that, it'll be Peter Vermees of Sporting Kansas City. Two interviews you're not going to want to miss. Soccer Matters on ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick word for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get down to the Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game tomorrow night. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Personally, never been on the radio if it was not for Bud Light. So our thanks to Bud Light. And with that, we bring in Fox analyst, former U.S. national team member. You know him, we know him. He's even been here in studio one time, the one and only Alexi Lalas. Alexi, thank you for coming on the show.
Hello, I like Bud Light, too. I have plenty of stories that involve Bud Light.
So. Yeah, well, we might have to do one before the end of this because Bud Light would certainly appreciate that. Let's just start. You were part of the broadcast today for this absolutely insane moment in soccer history. Robert Lewandowski scoring 5 goals in 9 minutes. By the way, after Wolfsburg plays an incredible first half and is up 1-0. So just what went through your mind when you were watching this?
Well, that we were seeing history. And regardless if you're a Bundesliga fan or not or anything, I mean, anybody that watched that game or goes back and sees some of the highlights here is going to appreciate the fact they are seeing something very special. Not something that you can anticipate, not something you can call. Robert Lewandowski, who did not start the game, was on the bench the entire first half, gets substituted in. This is Bayern Munich versus Wolfsburg, two teams that are very, very good, and really a moment when you said, all right, now Bayern's really going to get tested by a team that is worth their weight. And a very good half, as you said, from Wolfsburg, that first half, they could have been up 2-0. They were up 1-0. And then, I'll tell you what, it was just one of those things where the gods of soccer said, you know what, I know you're Bayern Munich, I know you got a lot of money and great talent, but we're still going to give you a moment of just incredible historic proportions, and to see him come out and score a goal. We were in the studio trying to calculate, because he scored one goal, then he scored another goal, and it was the quickest 2 goals, and it was the quickest 3 goals, and now we're in historic territory, and 4 goals, 5 goals, just something that for many, many years people will talk about, regardless of, it transcends the league, and people that love soccer just saw something very, very special today.
Yeah, I like the fact that the Bundesliga now is available to everybody, and we're able to place it next to watching Premier League games and all these other leagues, because I think we were missing something.
Yeah. I mean, and we're very lucky over at Fox, you know, FS1 and FS2 and our online formats over at Fox, we're televising everything, and this is the first year that we've had it. And like you said, it's been kind of out of sight, out of mind. We've had an understanding of what was going on, but to see it on a weekly basis and to see the great games and the stands and the aesthetics of it, and then to see the play, it's been really, really fun to dive into that, because the EPL, we all know what a huge juggernaut that is. But we've heard talk about the Bundesliga, and certainly there's people that have followed it, but to make it easy to find it right now on Fox is, I think, a good thing for the Bundesliga, and for me, someone that's coming at it that hasn't watched a whole lot of it. Absolutely wonderful action, individual talent, great teams, great culture when it comes to the league and to the sport and to the teams, and just fun to watch.
Yeah, and the attendance is absolutely remarkable. I mean, the backdrop of these games, no matter who the team is, it's always absolutely packed. You don't see empty seats.
Incredible. Incredible scenes, you know, when you talk about Dortmund or any place else. And also teams that you know are going to be around when it gets to the nitty-gritty of whether it's Europa or whether it's Champions League. Obviously, Bayern Munich, one of the best teams in the world, and Pep Guardiola, and just all the talent that they have on the field, on the bench. I mean, this weekend they were able to start guys like Müller on the bench, and it's just pretty incredible. And they don't even have guys like Ribéry and Arjen Robben because of their injuries right now. They're just going to get better when those guys get back. It's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola looking like he had a good time today. All right, Diego Costa, mm-hmm. Wind-up artist, a baiter. How about his band? Did he deserve it? Are you tired of his antics, or do you think he's a good character for the game?
Oh, I could care less about his antics. They don't bother me in the least. There are absolutely no saints in this game. They are all sinners. The sanctimony and the hypocrisy that comes out on a weekly basis and certainly came out over the weekend with regards to Diego Costa makes me laugh. This judgment we have where, you know, a two-footed tackle is okay, but a dive or an embellishment is you send the person right to hell. I think he's great for the game. He is incredible theater. He's an incredible personality. I hate retro reffing. We give these men and women the opportunity, the responsibility, and the respect to go out there on the field and to make decisions with the understanding that they are human. And they are going to make decisions that we might not disagree with. And even in not making a decision, you are making a decision. And I hate going back and retro-refing games. Now, it's different if the entire refereeing crew misses something off the ball, that in this day and age with the technology we have and the video that we have, that we can see something like that. But to go back and to look at these things, it drives me nuts. And I know I'm probably in the minority, but I would say there are a lot of people out there that are screaming and yelling and coming down on Diego Costa, that if their team had the opportunity to have Diego Costa, they would have him.
Oh, and they would love him.
Yep, yep.
They would absolutely love him, and it's no different with Luis Suarez. And if every Chelsea fan that was bashing him when he was at Liverpool, if he had been at Chelsea, they would have absolutely
And you know, I mean, there is always, and I know I get, sometimes people are confused sometimes when I talk about this, but whether it's diving or embellishment or whatever you want to call it, the guile and the sly type of work that guys that we're talking about, Diego Costa and Luis Suarez and these types of players, it is a skill. And it is something that, if it's done correctly, can be incredibly valuable. And I'm not saying that you don't punish people, because if they do get dinged and the referee's out there and he sees it, absolutely, he or she should punish it. But there are so many things. And I guarantee there were things done this weekend that people didn't see that were as bad or worse. And so it's done constantly. It will continue to get done by individual players looking to get that edge. It's stuff off the ball. It's stuff on the ball. It's stuff that you see. It's stuff that you don't see. And there are many, many, like I said, there are plenty of sinners out there. There are no saints.
All right, Jurgen Klinsmann. Now I'm going to put you in the sinner category.
Okay.
Are you after Jurgen? I mean, do you like Jurgen as a person?
Do I like him?
Yeah.
As a person? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think he's fascinating. I love talking to him. He always says things when we have conversations that are interesting. So when it's a private conversation, it's interesting. Publicly, when we're talking, when it's on the record, when it's off the record, when he's talking just in general, I think he is an incredibly interesting and fascinating individual. I think he's provocative. I think he's intentionally provocative at times. I think that he has furthered the discussion and the discourse when it comes to American soccer. He has asked questions that either we haven't asked before or questions that we are afraid to answer. I think all of those are good things. So that, from a personal perspective, yeah, I think he's great. I really do like him.
Is his provocation working right now?
No, and that's that's the problem right now. And I think that at times, many of the things that he says with regards to the team, with regards to American soccer culture, and whether it's that we need to educate more and all that kind of stuff, I think it is provocative, and I think at times it's condescending. I think at times it is it is irritating to people, the fact that at times he doesn't take responsibility for decisions that he makes, the times that, say, for example, the Bedoya situation the other day where he substituted Bedoya out in the first half. Right. I thought it was completely out of line for a head coach to put a player in a situation, in a position he's never played before, which he admitted after the game, which Bedoya admitted after the game, and then to bring him out in the first half. And you know, you've watched enough soccer. When a player gets substituted in the first half, during the first half, either you're injured or you just had an absolute shocker. And it is a way of making an example of a player within a game. And I thought it was unfair, and I thought it was something that should never have been done, and certainly shouldn't have been done in a situation like the other day in a friendly game.
Alexi, did anybody address that with Jurgen and ask him that question, why he took him out? Well, number one, why did he play Bedoya as a holding midfielder? And number two, why did they take him out?
Well, I wasn't on the game, so okay. We at Fox were not doing the game.
I was in the ESPN
situation. I don't know if he did. He certainly, talked about the situation, even in the interview at halftime coming back into the game, saying that it wasn't working. And I get that. But these are the types of decisions that make you scratch your head. And Jurgen Klinsmann oftentimes does it. And sometimes it works out great, either for the individual that's been put in the situation or for the team ultimately in the results. Now, does this mean that coming up in October 10th, the game against Mexico, Jurgen Klinsmann's job is in jeopardy if they don't win? No, I don't think so. I think his seat is very, very cool right now. And I think that they have given him the keys to the kingdom when it comes to U.S. soccer and Sunil Gulati. And unless something ridiculously awful happens during qualifying for the next World Cup, I don't think that he's going anywhere. I think they are married to him both in terms of the power. He is both the coach and the technical director, and in terms of the money that they're paying for him, and they're going to ride it out.
Yeah, past history would tell us that also. Here's another guy that's a little bit directionless, Louis van Gaal. do you think Louis found out that he is not bigger than Manchester United?
Well, I know. I still think he probably believes, whether he says it publicly, regardless if he gets fired or how this ends up happening, that he is the big man. I don't mind that. I love big, bold, arrogant personalities in my sports, whether it's the players or whether it's the coach. Now, you have to couple it with winning and consistently winning, especially when you're a coach of a team like Manchester United with the money and the history that it has. I think that they have, to a certain extent, turned a corner, but they are still not, once again, the Manchester United that everybody seems to compare and contrast them with, which is of 10 years, 20 years, and 20 years ago under Sir Alex. And that was always going to be a tough reach to get back to those lofty heights immediately. But at some point, you do have to get back and live up to the path with new players. Now, you got guys like Memphis coming in and Martial and these types of players that he's readily admitted are players for the future. But you know what? The future is now. You got to perform now, whether you're Louis van Gaal or David Moyes or anybody else right now. And so he'll be under pressure, but I don't think he's going anywhere quite yet. I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all ultimately plays out from an EPL perspective. But that's what you want.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting, Martial has gotten 3 goals in 2 games. He's only 19 years of age. Pretty remarkable start for this kid.
Incredible. And almost you if you've been around soccer for a while or sports, there's a certain part of you that cringes, saying, "Oh no, I hope we're not putting too much on his plate." Yes, he's young. And he's come out of the box with goals and almost lived up to the price tag, but now he's looking like a bargain. But in order to maintain that, you have to keep scoring goals. And he's not playing on a Sir Alex type of team right now in terms of the talent around him. And can he keep it up? And this is a team that is dying for a hero. And it says a lot about where Manchester United is right now, that the hero they have just recently anointed is 19 years old. And a guy that has no EPL experience that just came into the team. They're dying for it, but who knows? Maybe he takes them to the promised land going forward.
Alexi Lalas joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, Trinidad and Tobago's attorney general has signed a document to go ahead with the extradition to the U.S. of former FIFA Vice President Jack Warner, who, we all love here in Houston because Trinidad and Tobago's women's team came here and they were trying to qualify for the Women's World Cup in Canada, and they came here and they had no money. So they were asking for money. Of course, Jack had money to put his name on a bunch of training facilities down in Trinidad and Tobago. The walls are no doubt going to continue to come down for years in this FIFA scandal. And yeah. I know you've asked Sunil Gulati in the past and Don Garber about involvement. this is going to keep going on for a number of years. Is there some concerns about U.S. involvement here? Because, you know, we know what has happened with some of the CONCACAF countries. Mm-hmm. We also know what has happened with one of our CONCACAF guys who lived down in the Trump Tower.
Well, I think we would be naive if we didn't at least bring up the possibility that we're dealing with a summer of corruption. And I think that it's been good. And you know, God bless Loretta Lynch and all the work that she has done to expose it and continues to do. But we're talking about CONCACAF. We're talking about FIFA. When we talk about CONCACAF, a lot of the names and the faces and the people have been in business together for a long time. When it comes to the federations involving in CONCACAF, when it comes to the marketing of teams and tournaments and games and all the different things that we have been enjoying summer after summer and year after year after year, and it's worrisome. And that's why I've asked these guys, look, is this going to come to our shores in the sense of not where we're indicting and bringing people back to face judgment here in the United States, but actually people that are here that are involved in soccer? And I asked Don Garber at the All-Star game, and he told me 100,000%, I think is how he put it.
Yeah, I remember the interview.
Yeah, so, I mean, I hope that that is the case. And it's really interesting to see how this Copa Centenario is progressing, because it all is a reflection of what has happened this summer. The U.S. Soccer Federation knows that they have to be on their best behavior, and absolutely everything has to be transparent and above board. And that's one of the reasons why they are balking at this point in getting into bed with CONMEBOL and hosting a big tournament here in the United States, unless they are absolutely sure that nothing can be tied to them when it comes to corruption. And that's the way that they should be going about it.
Absolutely.
The big concern is once they start peeling back these layers and these folks, at what point does it start to get to our shores, either individually or entities that exist on our shores? And that would be a huge disappointment and another problem going along.
Copa Centenario. This. I don't think people realize how big this is going to be. I think this is almost in a way going to be like hosting a World Cup because of all the stars, the quality of play, cities it's going to reach. I think it's going to be big.
It's going to be huge. And for those that don't know, Copa Centenario, the 100th version of the Copa America. And for the last couple of years, they've been talking about hosting it next summer in the United States, which would be wonderful. And like you said, it would be the biggest men's tournament since the 1994 World Cup, and just a wonderful way to celebrate the men's game with incredible stars coming over. And then from a practical perspective for Jurgen Klinsmann and the team, a great tournament against quality competition on our own shores. If it happens, I think it's going to be great, especially because we can do a tournament very, very well right here. But while we say we can do it turnkey, you do need a little bit of time. And every day that passes when this isn't affirmed that it's going to be in the United States next summer is one day less when we could use to organize and market, sell it in the way that it's going to be. It's still not going to be 100% because we've already wasted time. But I think if they get it done, like I said, they have to have all of that transparency with regards to the contracts and everybody that's working in it. If it gets done, I think it's just going to be a wonderful tournament for American soccer fans to check out next summer, and I hope it gets done.
Yeah, me too. A lot of money to be made in that one as well. As we ask you a question or two more, and then we'll let you go. Let's look at this weekend and a couple of games on tap here. Spurs and City, I go to that one first in the Premier League. And then how about the Foxes of Leicester at home against Arsenal and Arsene Wenger? So those two games, to me, Spurs can't do what they did last year. They're home to City. But City's lost two in a row now. Has it been interesting to see City lose in the Champions League and then turn around and pretty much dominate a game but get beat by West Ham?
Well, keep in mind that before City lost in the Champions League, they started out the EPL season great guns, and then they go and lose in Champions League, and you couple that with other teams losing, both in Champions League and in Europa League, and then there's this whole narrative of the EPL, and they're playing a different type of game, and it doesn't translate to the international game. Then Manchester United goes back, and what they were going great guns at, they aren't able to continue when it comes to the EPL. Now, I think that they won tonight in the Cup against Sunderland, and DeAndre Yedlin got a start, so which isn't saying much, but it's still a win. And you know, when I think about it right now, I think that they'll be okay going forward. Arsenal is coming off of last weekend and all the controversy with Diego Costa. Now, evidently, they get Gabriel back because he's not going to be suspended because that was rescinded. But I think Arsene Wenger is certainly under pressure, having lost that game last week. In the way that they lost it, maybe he gets a pass because he can just blame, hey, it was Diego Costa and the referees and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, he's going to be under pressure. I think Mourinho right now, who a week ago was in a situation where we've never seen him almost being a normal coach. Mourinho doesn't do normal. He is the special one, and yet he was in this normal type of situation that a lot of coaches go through where they're just losing games and their job was in danger, and yet they do well on the weekend. And if anybody can turn it around, it can be Jose Mourinho. So it's going to be fun. It's always fun to check out all the entertainment and drama on and off the field when it comes to the EPL.
It's drama. It's paralysis by analysis. We're doing it all, buddy. Alexi, thank you as always for coming on the program. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you down the road.
Always a pleasure.
All right. He's the one and only Alexi Lalas joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You catch Alexi on Fox. We'll take a break here. We've got a lot more to come here. Second hour of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, tomorrow night, the Houston Dynamo in action against Sporting Kansas City. Last time Sporting Kansas City was here, unbelievable. 8-goal thriller, 4-4 was the final score in that one. Failhaber with a bomb, Raul Rodriguez with a glancing header, all kinds of excitement. So Sporting Kansas City coming to town tomorrow night, and we're pleased right now to have their manager, Peter Vermees, join us. Peter, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Glenn, always a pleasure, buddy.
Yeah, so let's just give me a little bit of a synopsis, and I'll lay back here. Just give us kind of a synopsis of your season so far this year.
I actually think it's been actually pretty good, to be honest with you. We've had a boatload of injuries and ones that are, you know, the ones that you really, I don't know what you can do about. You know, it's one thing if you're having a ton of muscle injuries, maybe you're doing something wrong in training or have you, but, you know, we had Picoparo with an Achilles, Roger Espinoza is actually against Houston last time we played him, broke his foot, going to be out for 12 weeks, so, I mean, we've had these, all these different types of injuries that we've received over the course of this season, but what I got to say is I think that our guys have performed very well, they've kept us in the hunt. And I think that's the only thing you can ask for, especially in a league like ours that has so much parity. It's a decent place to be in at the moment, especially with you know, the number of games we have left at the end of the season here. But you know, things are. And I guess look, it'd be great if you're 10 points ahead of everybody, but that's not the case with anyone at the moment. So for us, the big thing is that we just got to keep grinding these results, you know, from week after week.
Peter, I want to go back to what you just said about injuries because I think this is a big piece of this season in Major League Soccer. Everybody's had them. The Dynamo have had quite a few, and they've sent guys off to the Gold Cup and they've received damaged goods back. Now, we all know it's not an excuse in this league, but what does this do to the managers now? I mean, this puts a lot of pressure on you guys with every single roster spot now, right? Because with the knowledge every year you're going in, you're going to have injuries and call-ups. You have to have a roster and every single position on it. It's an important add to your team, isn't it?
It is, and look, the fact of the matter is that the majority of our money is spent on 20 players, and the other guys, and it's no disrespect to them, but they're usually the other eight players are really young guys. And so what transpires to you is or what transpires with you is the fact that you put yourself in a position where you don't have an opportunity to spend a lot of dollars on those types of players. So it really doesn't give you the kind of depth you need, especially when you're playing in multiple competitions.
Yeah, so what's the future here? Because, I mean, it's either up to you, the manager, to pull the best out of them. Obviously, you can change your tactics. I mean, How do you, if you're a team like anybody, your team, and you lose three key players, and I mean three key players that are high-paid guys that are the guys that can be differences in games, I mean, what's the solution for managers?
Well, the one thing that you did talk about is the Gold Cup. And I mean, Graham Zusi was another recipient of that. He was out for a little while during the Gold Cup and also when he came back to us based on a foot injury. And so, you know, on that side of it, what I do think is I think we have to have some relief. I think number one on the cap, and that's money. I think we have to have relief in the roster spots, especially when we're dealing with season-ending injuries. We really don't have a lot of flexibility in that area. And you know, I think it's sad when, look, you know the kind of money that's being spent team to team, especially on the DPs. You should have the ability to somehow add some money and not have your whole season go down the tubes because one or two guys have gotten season-ending injuries and you're unable to have any money left on your cap because you had to put it into those 20 guys that we were talking about earlier. So I'd love to see some cap relief in that world when you have season-ending injuries. That would be a big help, I think, for a lot of teams.
Yeah, you must be grimacing on the sidelines like every other manager in the league every time one of your star players gets into a heavy tackle or something.
Well, especially at this time of the year, right? Yeah. It's not easy. But look, there's a lot of us that are dealing with it. Some are fortunate to get a number of players back at this time. Some are still waiting. You know, some have just gotten, like Seattle just lost Torres and he's out for the rest of the season. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's some of it's a luck of the draw as well.
All right, let's go to Christian Namath because, I mean, I think this is a wonderful signing and I know you have a Hungarian background and connection. Did any of that come into play? Take us through how you discovered him and found him, because he's been a fun player to watch in this league and a dangerous one at that.
Well, in 2008, I went on a scouting trip to Hungary, Serbia, and Croatia. And I saw him. He was playing with, like, the U21s at the time, and I think he was, like, 18, 19 years old at that time. I saw him. I was the person I was with. I said, hey, I want to get that kid. And they told me that, well, he just got purchased by Liverpool. So I said, well, obviously I'm not going to be able to compete against them, and we're not going to outbid them. So the kid's gone, but I did follow his career. Then a teammate of mine, when I played in Hungary in 1988-89, now works in our academy at Sporting Kansas City. He's been working there for, like, 2 years at the moment. So I was talking to him one day, and I said, hey, what's your connection? Do you have any connection with Christian Namath? He said, actually, I coached him in the academy in Hungary.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, and I had been following his career. He went to Greece. He went to Holland. And they were all short stints after he left Liverpool. And I said, you know, I'd really like to try to get a hold of this kid. So we kind of went that route, got in touch with him. Finally figured out a deal and got him here because he was on his contract in Holland. He was actually free at the time because he decided not to go back to Holland, and he basically was training with the club in Hungary. And it was just the timing was perfect, you know, so I was able to grab him, pick him up, and now he's with us. I think the other thing is that I've always, as you said, I have a background. Both my parents are Hungarian, and so for me, I've always thought that a lot of the Eastern European players, you know, they have such a great technical foundation, really good understanding of the game, and I think they bring some real quality to a team. So I just thought that he would be a good player, and it might take some time for him to get indoctrinated into MLS and maybe how we play, but he's pretty much hit the ground running.
So 88-89, you were over there playing, and that's ASL time when I was playing here. So tell me about you being in Hungary and playing in Hungary, and what was the biggest takeaway for you there being in that soccer culture?
Well, you know, probably the sidebar is that it was still communist and it was just turning over. Mm-hmm. It was still a communist country. So that was a little bit of a change of scenery, that's for sure, coming from America.
Did you understand all that when you were there, being a young guy, the whole communism thing and what was
happening? Yeah, I did. Because, you know, I used to go back when I was a young kid with my parents for summer and summer. We, for a time period, for like 5 years straight, I went back for a month every summer. And so I had a very very good understanding of what the you know, what the world was like with both countries. But, you know, Hungary is always very progressive. they were always trying everything they could to get away from that hold that the that USSR had on all those countries at the time. But from a soccer perspective, it was tremendous for me because I was really well received by the players. You know, the press didn't make it out that I was American Hungarian; they made it out as a Hungarian American. So it kind of it worked well there, and so I was received well by the players. Was taken in by a couple of the older players very quickly, and I think it was more as I was a novelty in that they wanted to know a lot about America, and so the fact that I could speak Hungarian and you know I could kind of keep them connected and teach them some things wound up being a good thing for me because they were great impressions to me on what it was like to be a pro. But it was not easy. It was hard. That's a little bit of a hard environment. But it was good for me because I learned a lot. And there's no doubt that it made me a lot of connections for the future and I'm able to use now as well. And hopefully they continue to get players from that part of the world because I just think there's some really, really good soccer players there.
Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermees joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Back to Christian Nemeth. Just talk about how he's adjusted to life here and how he enjoys playing in Kansas City and just kind of how he's taken to the waters because he seems like he adapted to this league very quickly. And, you know, you as a player have played with guys who are foreigners that have crashed and burned quickly. You as a coach have seen him crash and burn quickly. He seemed to adjust to MLS pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he has. I think a lot has to do with the fact that he has a very good attitude. He was excited about this opportunity. I think it was a comfortable setting for him to come into, the fact that you know, his youth academy coach was already here. My background, it made it a little bit easier. But I think the other thing, too, is that when it's sort of been my experience that when a team, a club has a strong culture, it's easy for good players to either fit in really quickly or get found out really quickly and pushed out. And so for him, based on the fact that he had a good attitude and was excited about the opportunity and wasn't taking it for granted like a lot of foreigners have when they've come to this league because they don't think that it's good or it's fast or it's tough or whatever, they underestimate it and they find out really quickly that they can't thrive here. So for him, he had just the opposite attitude. And I think because of that, it's given him a chance, like as I said, to hit the ground running and really hasn't looked back.
Was he surprised to be playing in front of the types of crowds that he's playing in front of?
Yeah, he was definitely amazed at the kind of environment, number one, that we have in Kansas City. And then, you know, he's been to, obviously, Seattle. He's been to Portland. He's had a chance to see those different environments in MLS. And it's been he's been impressed for sure.
All right, Benny Failhaber, and I know I asked you this the last time on the show, but he just continues to the leadership side of this and him being a centerpiece of this team, I know there's a line that goes directly back to you. And I mean, what have you put in his drinking water? I mean, obviously, you know, here's a guy that everybody, well, you know, work ethic, you know, they all these different things they'd say about him. But now he's a primary leader for you. I mean, I look at him and I see a leader.
He is. And I think some of that part of it's coming out now because His personality was already there for that. He's a very confident guy. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. But I think he has a little bit more of the initiative now because he's confident about his game. And he understands, and as I said this to you before, I think the biggest thing is that I don't necessarily know if it's always been his fault in the past. Is that I don't know if the demand was made on him that he has to play on both sides of the ball and he has a specific responsibility when the ball does turn over and it's not ours. What he does have is that when you do win the ball, he is no doubt the guy that wants it. And the bigger the game, the more he shows up. And so from that point of view, he's been very good. But, you know, it's like any player. You always have to keep them on the edge because when they're not, they think everything's okay. And Benny's like most players. You got to keep him on the edge. You got to keep him thinking that he's not giving you enough. And what he is he's passionate about the game. He loves the game, and he wants to be successful. And I think because of all those things, it's one of the reasons why he's found success.
Peter, how much time do you spend on that itself? Just working guys to not allow them to get too comfortable? Because as human beings, we all, you know, whatever we do, we can all fall into a place where we think we're maybe producing more than we actually are. So how do you do that with players?
Well, I think it depends on the person. You know, Graham Zeus is a great example. I actually have to go to him and pull him back during the week, because if you saw him train, and even when we're just doing a walkthrough, and we're, you know, let's say we're working on something on the counter, and we're just showing the movement that maybe we want to do, next thing you know, he's at 100 miles an hour in, you know, 2 seconds. And I have to pull him back and say, Graham, what are you doing? You know, so again, it's by the individual. Certain guys, no matter what you do, you got to keep them on that edge all the time. Other guys, you got to be the moderator for them, because they themselves are putting too much pressure on. So it really has to do with the individual. And you got to, that's where I think you got to spend a lot of time getting to know the players that you have, what makes them tick. I would say in a lot of cases you can make it happen. Sometimes there's just some guys that, you know, when they don't work, a lot of times it's because maybe they don't fit into the style of play that you have. But it doesn't mean that they're not good players or bad guys. It's just a lot of times they just don't fit into the way that you want to play.
Peter Vermees, manager of Sporting Kansas City. Peter, how much more difficult is it now with the volume and the amount of teams in Major League Soccer to win a title?
Well, it keeps getting more and more difficult, right? I mean, we just won a couple of years ago. There's a few more teams in the league. I think if you look at it, it's maybe not so much the volume, it's the amount of money that's being spent by a lot of teams. You know, we played Toronto maybe about 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and so we're going up there and, you know, we spend, you know, $4.5 million outside of the set, you know, other monies outside of the 3.5. So spend an extra $1 million on all the other players that we have and allocation money. You know, they're spending 30, 35. You know, that's a big difference in quality of players. And it can be, but, that's the piece I think that's getting more and more difficult. And I'm hoping that there's going to be different mechanisms that's going to allow smaller markets like us still to continue to be relevant. I say that because, as we both know, Giovinco is a fantastic player. And you don't get Giovinco, you know, for less money than probably what he's making up there. As much as I think he's a great addition to the league, in my market, I can't sustain that from a business perspective. Now, could my owner go and afford to pay for him? Absolutely, and not, you know, not even blink. But if you're running a sound business and you want to run it the correct way, and you want to make sure that you're always being smarter on the bottom line and you can recover dollars through sponsorship or what have you, our market would never be able to afford a player like that just because the marketing and the sponsorship dollars aren't there. So we just got to continue to be smart on how we progress forward in this league, knowing full well that there's going to be markets like that, and they have to have other ways or means to still stay competitive with those types of players being brought into the teams that actually can sustain those types of numbers.
So basically you're saying, without a doubt, your owners have the resources to make that happen. But based on your market, your city, and what you guys need, you wouldn't get the return on a player like that.
That's correct. I mean, look at it right now. We don't have any of those players, and we sold out, I don't know, 78 games in a row now.
Yep.
So it's not like we're selling any more tickets if we bring a new guy in. You know, it's just there's only so many sponsorship and marketing dollars that you're going to bring in. Whereas if you go into L.A., New York, Toronto, Vancouver, these kind of cities, they have different types of marketing dollars associated with, you know, the per capita that they have in their cities, comparatively speaking, to Kansas City. We'll just never have that kind of money. Again, it's that kind of money with making sure that you're looking at the bottom line. If you're not concerned about that, it's just, well, expense, it's a whole different story.
Peter, last question. We'll let you go. Thank you so much for this, and it's a two-part question. First off, just a word on the Houston Dynamo, and then a word on Owen Coyle in relation to you when you first became a manager in MLS and all the things you have to learn so quickly, because I got to think for somebody who's coached overseas, the quick jump into Major League Soccer is not an easy one.
Yeah, The first thing I'll hit is Owen. Only thing I would say is I got to imagine for him the biggest difficulty is the player mechanisms to bring players in and out of the team. I was fortunate enough to spend a few years being the technical director, and I got to learn all those mechanisms without having to worry about the lineup and individual meetings with key players and all those things. So I was fortunate from that respect. I got to imagine for him that piece is very difficult when you're trying to build your team. That's just got to be, almost a first year. It's almost insurmountable to overcome. But I'm sure this experience that he's gotten this year has been tremendous, for years to come. The second thing I would say is that in regards to Houston, and they have a little twist on this that I'm going to say. They fit in the same boat as we all do in this league, and that is at this time of the year. Everybody knows what they're competing for. So every game's going to have the intensity. Every game's going to have that atmosphere of playoffs. And the one thing that I've said is that, the Houston Dynamo has been our best team. And I say that because I think that they've made us a much better team. And I'd like to think at times we've done the same with them in that we have had very good competitive matches over the years. They were a major hurdle for us to get over to try to then go on to win MLS Cup, and they were. And that's brought out the best in us at times, and it's also brought out the worst of us, and that's been good for our evolution. And so what I have so much respect for with this organization is the fact that they have incredible competitors on this team, and they have great experience here. And so it's never a team that you can take lightly at any point in the season, and more importantly, this time of year, because they know how to win, those players. They have such a great competitiveness that I have the ultimate respect for, and we know that anytime we come here, it's always going to be a good game.
Yeah, it was an exciting one the last time you guys were here, and has been over the years. Peter, as always, we thank you very much for coming on the program. Great insight tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Always great talking to you, Glenn.
All right, that's Peter Vermees. Not only an excellent player, he has turned into one excellent manager. That wraps it up here tonight. Again, reminder tomorrow, 7:30 kickoff, the Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Get out, get into the stadium. That's where you got to be Wednesday night, tomorrow night. We will call it a night here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.